This morning, however, we're also going to be talking about Jesus, but we're going to talk about his occupation a little bit. You know what his occupation was? I know you're going to say he was a savior. Well, he was that. You say, well, he was a carpenter. Well, he did that too. You say, well, he was a preacher. Well, he did that too. You say, well, he was a prophet. Well, he did that too. He did a lot of jobs, actually. But we're going to look at something that you probably haven't thought of. I'm going to go ahead and turn to Matthew 11:28. We'll begin there. We won't stay there very long, but we'll start there. I wanted to mention as well that in the announcements, we didn't mention the youth devotional today. I think all the young people know about it. They've been talking about it all morning, in fact. But I wanted to remind the parents as well that the youth devotional is between services today. And men's and ladies' classes will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon as well. We didn't mention that either. But we want to remind everyone of that so you don't have an excuse and say, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Well, now you know. You can be back at 4 o'clock today. Matthew 11:28, the scripture that was read to us just a moment ago, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, he doesn't say that he doesn't have a yoke at all, or that there is no burden at all, but he's making a comparison. He said, compared to carrying all of the sin and worry and troubles of the world around on your shoulders, if you'll take my yoke upon you, the burden is light compared to what you've been carrying around. Now we talk about people, well, they look like they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders. Well, a lot of times people do. People want to take everything, and they know their weaknesses, they know their sins, they know their struggles, and they have all of those things weighting them down. Jesus says, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, you're burdened down. Have you ever been burdened down with the cares and troubles of this world? All of us probably have at one time or another. If we understand enough about the problems that are going on in the world, we've let them get to us on occasion. But Jesus says, you bring those things to me. Let me worry about those. And you just worry about being obedient to me. You worry about following me. And I'll worry about all of those difficult things. But one of the things that we notice here is that Jesus is calling for those that a lot of other people wouldn't be interested in. He wants the ones that are burdened down, the ones that are troubled, the ones that are struggling, the ones that are having a hard life. Now, that's not the kind of people that most organizations look for. Most organizations are going to look for someone who can do some wonderful things for them. Well, I know we could get you, you could really help this organization out. You could make it better. But Jesus said, for all of you out there, who maybe you don't feel like you could make an organization better, but you need an organization that can make you better, I'm here. Come to me. Bring your troubles. Bring your weighted down shoulders. And come to me. And I'll give you rest. Jesus is calling those who need something, not those who He needs. And we see that time and again throughout his life. I want to entitle the lesson this morning, Jesus the Recycler. Think about what a recycler does. Someone who recycles things goes out and finds things that are used, things that have been abused, things that are no longer wanted by whoever had them, and they gather those things up, and they take them, and they reuse them, or they clean them up, or sometimes there's even a reprocessing that goes on with plastic bottles or glass bottles. They'll melt those things down and use it again. Well, you know, that's what Jesus does. Jesus goes out into the world and He collects other people's garbage. He collects people who have been thrown away by society. He goes out looking for people that nobody else wants. He's looking for the world's garbage. And you look at what He did in His ministry, and we see it time and again. We see in John chapter 8 and verse 3 through 11 that He found the adulterous woman. Well, she's not somebody that everybody wanted to have around. In fact, the people who brought her to Jesus wanted to stone her to death. You know, adultery and fornication was not looked upon in Jesus' day and age in the same way it is in our society. I mean, today, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, they're expressing their sexual freedom, and they're really showing that they can love a lot of different people, and oh, it's wonderful. And that's not the way it was in Jesus' day and age. Not that it should be that way in our day and age, but it is. But Jesus took this adulterous woman that society was going to throw away. They were going to stone her to death, and if they had stoned her to death, they would have just piled a bunch of rocks on top of her and called that her tomb, and let it be a reminder to everyone else that you shouldn't live this way. And of course, ironically, they didn't bring the man. They said, oh, she was caught in the very act of adultery. They didn't bring the man, but they brought the woman. You know, the Middle East hasn't changed a whole lot. They still behave in the same way today over there. They bring the woman and execute the woman for the crime of adultery, but they don't do anything to the men. They still live in the same backwards kind of thinking over there, that men are not guilty of the same things that the woman is, even though they were both engaged in the same activity. But they bring this adulterous woman to Jesus, and when they finally give up after He's told them that if they're without sin, they can throw the first stone. And they all left. And He looked up and He sees her there alone. He says, well, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, Lord. And He said, well, neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. He said, I don't condemn you either then. Even though He recognized He had the right to condemn her. He said, whoever's without sin can throw the stone. He could have thrown the stone. He was without sin. But He said, you know what? I'm not going to condemn you for your past. But I want you to go and sin no more. You see, He didn't just accept the garbage as it was, but He took it and expected to change it into something better. That's what a recycler does. Take the things that others will throw away and try to use it and improve it and make it something useful once again. And Jesus tried to take this woman and rehabilitate her so that she could be useful once again. What about the Samaritan woman? In John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26, Brother Red spent a lot of time talking about this woman and her conversation with Jesus and what they talked about. But do you ever think about this woman? I mean, here she was in the middle of the day coming to get water. Most people went to get their water in the morning. Why was she out there all by herself in the middle of the day? Well, most likely she didn't want to be around those other people, because they didn't think too highly of her. Remember her circumstance. She'd been married to 5 different men, and she was living with a man she wasn't married to. Puts her in that same category with that adulterous woman, doesn't it? She was shocked when Jesus spoke to her because He was a man, not only a man, but a Jewish man, and she was a Samaritan woman, and the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. See, the Samaritans were a whole class of people. a whole nation of people, a whole race of people that Jewish society was ready to throw away. Let's just throw them away. They're no good. We'll get rid of them. But Jesus said, no, let's not get you rid of them. Let's make them into something useful. Let's recycle those people. And so he had that conversation with the Samaritan woman, and he used that sinful woman to become an ambassador for him. She went back to the town and she told the people, come see this man that told me everything I ever did. And so they came out to him. They came to see him. And when they came out to him, they listened to what he had to say. And he not only changed that woman's life, he changed their life. At first some of them believed because of what the woman told them. But later, in the end of that chapter, we see that they say, now we believe not because of what you said, but because we have heard him for ourselves. And we know he's the Messiah. Not just because you said he was, but now we've heard him. We know he is. But yet he used her to bring a whole group of people, a whole town came to him because of her. Now most of us would have never imagined using her that way. Taking advantage of that situation, knowing what kind of sinful woman she had been, we'd have thought, even if we could convince her, nobody in town would believe her. But you know, some of the strongest cases for Christianity come from the people whose lives have been touched by it. The people who have changed because of the power of Christ. You remember we studied before about the demoniac who was possessed by the legion of demons. Not just one, he had a whole legion of demons in him. And when the people came, they saw him sitting clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And he wanted to go with Jesus because he didn't think that the people there would accept him. But Jesus said, go tell what the Lord has done for you. And you know, at that point, they kicked Jesus out of their land because of the healing of this man. They were so scared of Jesus. You know what's fascinating? This man must have been a good minister for Jesus, because later, when Jesus came back to that land, they came to him in droves. They didn't run him off the next time he came. They welcomed him in. Seeing the changes in that man's life changed that whole region. Never could have been done if Jesus had shunned certain people like we tend to do. We tend to shun certain people because, well, they're just not quite right. There's something wrong with them. We don't want to take the gospel to them. What about the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28? Remember that the Canaanites, by the time Jesus is alive, there shouldn't be any Canaanites. The children of Israel, when they came into the land of Canaan, they were commanded by God to destroy all the nations and inhabit the land. If they had done what they were supposed to do, there wouldn't be any Canaanites. So there wouldn't be this case of this Canaanite woman coming up through Jesus. But, nevertheless, here she is. Well, we talked about how the Samaritans were treated by the Jews. How do you suppose they felt about a group of people that they were supposed to have eliminated? In fact, Jesus himself says to the woman, it is not meet to give the children's bread, take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He compares the Jews to the children and the Canaanites to the dogs. Now, most of us would have been offended if Jesus talked to us that way. But let's be honest with ourselves. In his sight, What have we done that makes us so worthy? Nothing. But we sing a little song from that talks about Jesus dying for such a worm as I think in some of the books. Somebody says, "Wow, I can't sing it that way. I can't stand to think that as a worm." No, we're not worm. We're people. Well, it may be, but what did Isaiah say? All our righteousness is as filthy rags to Him. We can't measure up. But Jesus speaks to this woman in this way. She's not offended. Instead, she says, "Well, yes, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the table." Now, here was a woman with an attitude that most of us would never have. We would, "Well, if you're going to treat me that way, I'm out of here. I'm going to leave. You can't talk to me that way." But this woman had a submissive attitude. She was willing to accept anything that Jesus would say to her because she wanted her daughter healed. She didn't care about herself. She was concerned about her daughter. We need to get to the point where we're more concerned about our soul than we are our reputation or our pride. We've got to get over it. We've got to be willing to submit ourselves to God and recognize, yeah, I'm garbage. I deserve to be thrown away. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned. So all of us deserve to die. That's all we deserve. Now people go, "I wish they would give me what I deserve." Well, you know what you deserve? You deserve to die because you're a sinner. I deserve to die because I'm a sinner. But Jesus brings us mercy. Then we see on the cross the thieving man. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Again, another person who is being executed for his crimes. The indication is, this wasn't just somebody who snuck into people's house and stole stuff. This wasn't somebody who wrote hot checks. This wasn't somebody who had just, you know, taken a little bit of money out of a cash register somewhere. He is dying on a cross because the kind of robbery that he has committed involves a crime worthy of death. It wasn't just a fellow who snatched a loaf of bread off the supermarket store shelves and didn't pay for it, okay? This was a bad guy. And he admits it. When the other thief is picking on Jesus, he stands up for Jesus. He says, how can you condemn it when we're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. In other words, we're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing amiss. He hasn't done anything wrong. And he's dying on this cross just like we are. And we deserve to die. So this man admitted that he was a criminal who deserved execution. Surely Jesus isn't going to accept this kind of a fellow, is he? Yeah. That's just the kind of person Jesus is looking for. Now you notice he didn't accept the other thief on the cross. Why? Well, you see, the difference in the two was a matter of attitude. One of them recognized and admitted his sin. The other one was spending all his time picking on Jesus. Wrong attitude. Jesus accepted this man who was a criminal dying on a cross next to him, and yet he rejected some of the religious elite of his day and age. Why? Because they would not admit that they needed anything. They wouldn't admit they needed a Savior. He tells them, they said, well, he told the story about the blind man, and they said, well, are you saying we're blind? And he said, if you would just admit you had sin, then you could see. But because you say we have no sin, you're still blind. Goes for all of us. As long as we stand there haughty and say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need any Savior. I can save myself. I can take care of myself. As long as we've got that attitude, we can forget about it. But the people who are sinful and know they're sinful and admit they're sinful and realize they need Jesus, those are the ones that He's reaching out for and saying, hey, you come unto Me. I can do something about that. Let's look quickly at the reasons Jesus collected all of this garbage. I mean, these are some of the worst scoundrels in society. And this is who Jesus is around. You remember the Pharisees got in here, He's hanging out with prostitutes, the tax collectors, and He's eating with them. First of all, He had sympathy for them. 8 times in the Gospels it says He had compassion. Do we have compassion? Do we realize when we see somebody else tangled up and ensnared in sin and enslaved to sin, do we remember, I was there too. And Jesus lifted me up out of that. Or do we become all judgmental and say, well, they ought to straighten up and not act that way. How quickly we forget what it's like to be outside of Christ and without God in this world. To be alien from the commonwealth of Israel. And yet we all were at one time. But not only did He have sympathy for them, He could empathize with them. He Himself was an outcast. The religious leaders shunned Him, called Him names. They said, behold, a glutton and a wine bibber. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 9 through 11. And Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19. They say, He's sitting with, why is He eating with tax collectors and sinners? Guilt by association. Well, He's with them, He must be one of them. So we're going to throw Him out with the rest of the garbage. That's what the Pharisees thought of it. You know, empathy is such an important thing. A store owner was tacking a sign above his door that read, puppies for sale, $100. A little boy came under, saw the sign, and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out some change. He said, I have $2.87. Can I at least look at them? The store owner smiled and whistled, and out came 5 teeny tiny balls of fur. One puppy was way behind the others. And the boy said, what's wrong with that little dog? The store owner explained that that little puppy was born without a hip socket. It would always have a limp. It would always be lame. The little boy got excited. That's the puppy I want to buy. The store owner said, no, you don't want to buy that little dog. If you really want him, I'll just give him to you. The little boy got very upset. He looked straight into the store owner's eyes, pointing his finger, and he said, I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as all of the other dogs. In fact, I'll give you the $2.87 now, and I'll pay you 50 cents a month until I've paid for him. The store owner countered, you don't really want to buy this little dog. He's never going to be able to run and jump and play with you like the other puppies could. To his surprise, the little boy reached down and pulled up his pant leg to show a badly twisted, crippled leg supported by a big metal brace. He looked up at the store owner and softly replied, well, I don't run so well myself. And this little puppy will need someone who understands him. He realized Jesus came to earth to put on humanity, put on flesh and blood, just like us, because he knew that we needed someone who could understand us. He paid the full price for us. When Satan wanted to have us for nothing, and when the world considered us worthless, not worth saving, Christ came and died for the ungodly and the sinner. But more than just sympathizing with them and empathizing with them, and those things are wonderful, but it wouldn't do an ounce of good unless he could heal them. And that's the beautiful thing about Christ. Oh, we can all have sympathy for each other and our sinful condition, but we can't do anything for each other to heal the other person. We can't do anything to get rid of a single sin. But Jesus came and he could. He brought salvation with him. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, and Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. He says, "They that are sick have need of a physician." He said, "I am come to seek and to save that which is lost." He said, "It's not the ones who are well. It's not the righteous. It's the unrighteous that have these needs." That's where we were. In a 3rd century debate between Celsus and Origen, Celsus said, "Most teachers go forth to teach and they cry, 'Come to me, you who are clean and worthy,' and they are followed by the highest caliber of people available. But your silly master cries, 'Come unto me, you who are down and beaten by life,' and so accumulates around him the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity." How do you like being referred to as the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity? Origen didn't deny it. He replied, "Yes, they are the rag, tag, and bobtail of humanity." But Jesus does not leave them that way. Out of the material you would have thrown away as useless, he fashions men, giving them back their self-respect, enabling them to stand on their own feet and look God in the eyes. They were proud, cringing, cowed, cringing, broken things. But the Son has set them free. You think about what Jesus has done for us. He did what no one else could ever do. Well, what about you? What do you want to be when you grow up? You want to be a recycler like Jesus? That's a lofty goal. To take people and turn their lives around. To take people that society has cast off and is willing to throw away, and to give those people the love of Christ, the grace of God, and the forgiveness of sins that only He can offer. We certainly should be recyclers like Jesus is. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 and following, God tells Samuel, "Don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look as man looks, because God doesn't look at people the same way. He looks at the heart." All those people living in those fancy houses, driving those fancy cars, wearing the nice looking suits that look like they've got it all under control, doesn't mean that they do. They may be just as big a mess on the inside as the person who's living in the rundown trailer without running water or electricity. Jesus is looking at the heart. That's what matters. And if someone has the right heart, He can take that heart and He can mold it and shape it and fashion it until He has someone that is useful. faithful to Him. What if we don't reach out? What if we're like the mother in this poem? Soldier called his mother from San Francisco Bay, said, "Mother, I'll be coming home, but hear me what I say. I want to bring a buddy, please. Mom, if you don't mind, he has one leg, one arm, one eye, and needs your love so kind." The mother told her soldier with a harsh and bitter tone, "No, don't bring your buddy here. Find him another home. We just don't have a place for him, and if it's how you say, we sure don't need a handicap to be here in the way." Then later came a telegram. The soldier boy was dead. He took his life. They found a note, and this is what it said. "No, don't bring your buddy here." His mother's words were they. "We sure don't need a handicap to be here in the way." At last the wheels stopped turning as the mother met the train. She came to get her only son with tears that fell like rain. She stared into the cold steel box to kiss her boy goodbye. And there he was, a handicap. One leg, one arm, one eye. You see, when we're selective in who we're willing to show the love of God to, we destroy lives instead of saving them. I imagine this mother, if she had known that it was her son who was the one who was handicapped, would have said, "Come on, son, we'll love you and we'll take care of you and we'll provide for you." But no, she didn't have room for his friend. Jesus always has room for the handicapped. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, it doesn't matter. He's looking for someone with a pure heart. He'll make the room. He may have to cut off some of those branches that aren't bearing fruit to make room. He'll do that. He may have to kick out some of the proud and arrogant to make room, but he'll do that. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. What about you? Are you showing the love of Christ? Are you sharing His love with others so that they know how much He loves them? How much He gave so that He could save them? Or are you shunning those who were the very people in the first century who flocked to Jesus? We need to think about it. We need to be reaching out with the gospel to everyone. It's not our responsibility to be soil testers. It's our responsibility to sow the seed. Let the Word of God land where it will and produce the fruit. God said in the book of Isaiah, "My Word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the task for which I have set for it." We are out there to share the Word with others. Let them make up the mind whether they want to open their heart to Him or whether they want to shun Him. You're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation. Perhaps you've never experienced the love of God. He's willing to forgive you of all of the sinful things you've done in this life. But only if you will believe in Him, repent of your sins, and confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then submit yourself to be buried with Him in baptism to wash those sins away. If you're here and you're a Christian, but you haven't been sharing the love of God with others as you should, you too may need to respond as we stand and as we sing.